with a survey of Isurim related to Gneiva. He very briefly started with Gneiva that doesn't involve money, and then he went into Averis of taking money that don't involve Gneiva, which is the main topic. Just very, very briefly, he listed two types of Gneiva that don't involve money, with proofs that they're actually Gneiva, and not just like a nice mussary word to call it that. One is kidnapping Gneivas Nefesh, and how do we know that's actually a halachic type of Gneiva, and not just like something that happens at the same word? Because the Gemara Daf Samech Esamid Beis learns out the halachas of Gneivas Mamon from the halachas of Gneivas Nefashos. So that shows there's really this similar halachic concept. The second, excuse me, type of Gneiva that doesn't involve money is Gneivas Da'as. And how do we know that Gneivas Da'as is a real Gneiva? And again, not just some nice Musar word that they use Gneiva there, because the Tosefta, Perek Zayin, Halacha Gimel, lists the seven levels of Gneiva, and six of them are ways of taking people's money, and one of them is Gneivas Da'as, showing that Gneivas Da'as is really Halachic Gneiva. If I recall correctly, but I forget where, there's a Ritva someplace in Shas who has a Gears in the Tosefta that even says Gneivas Da'as is the worst kind of Gneiva. Our Tosefta says it's the first. The Ritva, obviously, the Gears said the most chama, so that would certainly prove the point. Then, as a tangent, he had a little lumdus in Gneivas Da'as, a ha'ara he likes to make, that the Rambam lists Gneivas Da'as redundantly, like the same type of scenario, two places in the Mishnah Torah, one in the 18th parak of Hilchos Mechira, and one in the second parak of Hilchos Deos. And why does the Rambam have to list the same thing twice? Once he asked the question, the answer was pretty clear. Because there's Tzvei Dinim in Gneivas Da'as, the Rambam thinks Gneivas Da'as is also for two totally independent reasons. Number one, in Hilchos Mechira, it's a way of taking someone's money, in Adam Lachaveiro, which is Aser. And number two, in Hilchos Deos, it's been Adam La'atzmo, it's a way of having bad character traits, having the character traits of duplicity and falsehood, which is Aser al Hilchos Deos, and therefore there's two Isur involved in Gneivas Da'as, but he didn't expand on that because that wasn't our main topic. Now, the next part of the Shiur we dealt with, what about Isurim of taking money that are not Gneiva? And there was a whole list from the Makar sheet, we only got to two last night, Gzela and Oshek. So most of the time we spend on Gzeva. What's the difference between Gneiva and Gzeva? So everyone knows the difference between Gneiva and Gzeva. The Gemara says that a Gazlan takes the Chazaka forcibly, while a Ganav sneaks and takes. So Gemara Daf Ayin Tes on the base, Re'uah Shipman B'Chorshin. The question is exactly where you draw the line. Exactly where do you draw the line between the Ganef and the Gazlan? So, what are the requirements to be called a Ganef as opposed to a Gazlan? So one chiluk, which the Gemara rejects, is that you might have thought a Ganef is not generally visible, and the Gazlan is visible, but that's not true. That's the chamashvulan of Ru'ua Shehitman Bechorshin, someone who hid in a forest and stole an animal. Agav gets onto the issue of Mashiach, but we didn't really go into it. We just mentioned that's obviously a very controversial issue. Probably the most basic one of the whole parak. But the Ru'ua Shehitman Bechorshin, someone who steals in the forest, even though it's a visible place, still, since he's attempting to hide, even though, again, the best he can hide in a forest when he steals in the in the grazing area is still generally visible. But as long as he's hiding, that's still Gneiva. So if he hides, that's Gneiva. If he doesn't hide, even if the best hiding he can do is still to be somewhat visible, that's Gneiva, including Grushet and Bechorshin. The guy who hid in the forest and stole in the forest is Gneiva. Gzela is only if he doesn't hide. But then we have Machlok, the later on in the Gemara, between Rabbi Abahu and Rabbi Yochanan, which is very interesting, which Rabbi Yochanan gave a lumdish getter for, about what is a Gazlan then, Taka? A Gazlan is, Rabbi Abahu says, a Gazlan is someone like Bale Shem, who set ambushes and robbed everyone who passed on the highway. Rabbi Yochanan says that Gazan, someone like Nayo ben Yoyada, who wrested the spear out of the hands of the enemy soldier and killed him with it. So what's the machlokas here? What? It's the other way around?
Yeah.
I apologize. Rabbi Yabal says Nayo ben Yoyada. Rabbi Yochanan says, thank you. Rabbi Yochanan says, like Bali Shtem, what's the machlokas? Everyone agrees Nayo ben Yoyada, the guy who grabs, just walks over to someone and grabs it out of them. Out of their hand is a gazla. The machlokus is in Bali Shechem. So what's the machlokus regarding Bali Shechem? The Gemara says, on the one hand, they hide. They use the attribute of stealth. That's how they ambush people, right? If you were a highway robber and you were just standing there in full view, then everyone would see you on top of the mountain and they would take an alternate path. So they ambush, but not because they're afraid, just because they want to lure people into their trap. So they use the attribute of stealth, but not because they're afraid of justice. So that seems to be the machlokas. What then is the sort of the machlokas? Just Andrew, you'll keep on top of me for Rabbi Yochanan, keep getting Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yabalfa straight. Again, Rabbi Yochanan is the one who says Bali Shechem or Gazlanim. Right? So here we have we have to be more specific. Rabbi Yochanan says that a gazlan is someone who is not afraid of justice, while a ganef is someone who hides because he is afraid. And therefore, Bali Shechem are gazlanim. Rabbi Abahu says that Galishkam are gazlanim because they're not hiding out of fear of being caught. They're hiding as a strategic tactic. Rabbi Abahu says no. He says don't look at their motivation. Rabbi Yochanan looks at the kind of subjective motivation. He says the dividing line between Geneva and Gzela is subjective motivation. I don't care what act they do. What's their motivation? If their motivation is they're afraid of being caught, they're ganef. If their motivation is whatever it could be, but they're not afraid of being caught, then they're a gazlan. And Bali Shechem aren't afraid of being caught, they're gazlanim. Rabbi Abahu says no. It depends on the objective act that they do. And a ganef is someone who uses stealth. And a ganef is someone who does not use stealth. Therefore, objectively, since Bali Shechem used the attribute of stealth to ambush, therefore they're ganavim, and only someone like Nayo ben Yoyada, who's not using stealth at all, just running over to the guy and attacking him, is a gazlan. That's the basic sugya here. What Rav Aaron added to just pshat in the sugya is that to be magdur the machlokes that Rabbi Abahu looks at the objective act and Rabbi Yochanan looks at the subjective motivation. Now we'll come back to that in a second. I think he was trying to point out that later on in the Gemara, like the most famous parts of the Gemara that we all learn in kindergarten, says why is a ganef pay kefil and a gazlan doesn't? Because a gazlan's not afraid of anyone, so he's a bad guy. But a ganef is afraid of people, but not afraid of Hashem. So he's mamash not bikoris, and therefore he deserves a worse punishment, right? It's like someone who gazlan didn't invite anyone to his party, and the ganef invited everyone but the king. So that seems to work a lot better with Rabbi Yochanan, meaning he seems to fit the end of the sugya better, because the end of the sugya explains that between ganef and gazlan is based on subjective motivation. Are you afraid of people and not of Hashem, or are you not afraid of either one? While Rabbi Abahu looks more at the objective act. I'm not saying it's a proof, but certainly that sits better with Rabbi Yochanan. A little later in the shir, okay, well, Rav Lichtenstein suggested, one second, that the case of list mezuyan, although the Gemara doesn't say straight out, might also depend on how you look at it, whether objectively or subjectively, because the Gemara says that list mezuyan. Now it's not exactly true. I mean, David the Mitzvah and the Inchi, it seems that list mezuyan are afraid, right? They're running away and hiding all the time. Just that at the moment when they rob the bank, they take out their guns. But they're really afraid of justice and just momentarily reveal their guns and then disappear, you know, in a getaway car again. So you could say that the question of list mezuyan would also be an afkamina. You would say, you might say, according to Rabbi Yochanan, who goes by the subjective motivation, it would, the list mezuyan could be a ganef, because they are really afraid of people, while according to Rabbi Abba, who goes by their objective act, their objective act is one of gzeila. They overcome their fear and do a maisa of taking by force, overcoming their fear. But their fundamental attitude is one of fear. So it could be, this would also be an afkamina, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Abba, although again, the Gemara doesn't say so explicitly. Okay, now, that was one issue. How exactly do you draw the line between gneva and gzeila? The other very interesting issue is what is being defined here? So how do you define gzeila? Gneva is pretty clear. Gneva is someone who uses stealth because he's afraid of people. That's the getter of gneva. Right? Gneva equals right, let's just call it stealth. I don't need to prejudice. But what's the gedra of gzeila? There are two ways to understand what the Gemara is saying about gzeila. Gzeila, is the Gemara trying to say that gzeila is not gneva? Meaning, it's just a negative definition. Gneva, which has a chi of kefel, that has a definition. A certain thing falls up to gneva. If it's not gneva, it falls under gzeila without a fee of kefel. In which case, gzeila is a very broad category. Or are we saying that, no, gzeila also has a positive definition. Yeah, gneva for sure is a positive definition. It's defined by what it is. Does gzeila mean anytime you take money that's not gneva? Or does gzeila also have a positive definition? It means taking money with violence. Because for sure, the Gemara says, a goslem is someone who uses violence instead of stealth. But what does the Gemara mean? Does the Gemara mean, a goslem is someone who's not a ganef? So you have to sometimes look at the factor of violence to figure out that he's not a ganef. But whatever's not a ganef is a goslem. You don't have to qualify for a goslem. What do you mean? No, you have to qualify for a goslem by using the attribute of, or the tactic of violence. So this might underlie a big machlokes in Sanhedrin. The mission Sanhedrin of Chaf Dalet Amud Beis, parallel to the mission of Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, talks about psula edus. And it lists all these funny psula edus, you know, about Fricha Yonim, Masach Bekubyen, Malvi Veribis, etc. You know, everything but like mamish criminals. So why? So all the Rishonim seem to agree, or at least most of the Rishonim I've seen, Tosus, Alatar, etc., said Rashi and Rosh Hashanah, that the Mishnah only lists Psalaitis Drabbanan. And as everyone knows, Psalaitis Dorai, so those are obvious. The Mishnah is telling us who's Pasal Midrabbanan. So why are these things only Pasal Midrabbanan? Right, so why, let's take Masach Bekubya or Malva Beribis. Why is he only Pasal Midrabbanan? So Rashi says, because he's not a goslin. Why is he not a goslin? Right? One of the days there, the Tanakhama holds, Asmach the Lokanya. A Masach Bekubya takes money that he has no right to, right? I make a bet with you. You lose. I have no right to that money, so Asmach the Lokanya, I'm stealing your money. So Rashi says, no. A goslin, he goes back to Arsu, he is only someone like Nayoh ben Yoyada. Meaning, a goslin is not whatever's not a ganif. A goslin has a positive definition, only someone who acts like Nayoh ben Yoyada. I guess he seems to prefer Nayo Ben Yoyada than Bali Shechem, or else maybe he's being loved after that, I don't know. But a Gazan is only someone like Nayahu Ben Yoyada who takes violently, but since the Malvin Meribis, the Masach Bekubya, the Fricha Yonim, all these people who have business dealings that aren't quite legit, but like the people agree to them, just it's halachically not legit. It doesn't take violently. You give me the money willingly when I win the bet or ribis, etc. Therefore, they're not gazlan and midoraisa, and they're only psuleidos. They're only psuleidos midrabban, and that's Rashi. Rashi says this idea twice. Once in a sort of non-halachic context, in the second Rashi in Sanhedrin says a gazlan means someone who grabs from his friend. But there he's just trying to interpret like the example of Gaza in the Mishnah. The real Rashi on this is Rosh Hashanah Daf Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, where he says only Gaza gabs from his friend is a real Gaza and Pasul Doraisa. All these other guys are only Pasul Drabbanan. So he said clear halachic statement that to qualify as a Gaza and Doraisa, you need to use violence, as opposed to Tosvos on Sanhedrin Daf Chaf Dalet Amud Beis, who wonders the same thing. Why are these guys only Psulim Drabbanan? Tosfos says no. If they would really be taking someone's money without halachic justification, they would be gazlan midoraisa. I have to find an excuse why they're not gazlan midoraisa. So he finds an excuse. The Masach Bekuvia is because he's a shogeg. He doesn't know that what he's doing is so wrong. If you look at Tosfos' lashon very literally, he might seem to imply. And that's one fish, which is not such a fish. It's all over Shas. They have examples where someone does something b'shogeg, they're not possible to eat this. It's actually very no good. Bismanay, right? A lot of people, you know, might do a virus b'shogeg. It doesn't make them possible to eat this because they think it's okay. And even if they don't think for a very good reason, like losachma, she could love dumb mashma, people don't understand a lot of losachma, they just think it means not to steal mamish. Okay, so they're not possible to eat this. Or Sanhedrin HaChavah, they used to do malach and bury a mesa yantif. Obviously, machal yantif. But they thought it was okay, and even though the rabbanon put them in chayrim, they thought it's okay. We just need a kapara for working on yantif, but it's still a mitzvah. So we see the ketzer lo mishaneh, but it's clear in shas that that's not such a big fish. That if someone does something b'shogeg, they're not pasul la'igos. The sort of fish of Tosfos, if you're medayik in Tosfos lashon, if you're reading a certain way, might be saying a big fish which have tremendous nafkinis l'maisa, that even if they know what they're doing is wrong, but they don't know that it's so wrong that it pasuls them for edus, then they're not possible Eidos. That would be a big cool in Hilchos Eidos. But again, this is somewhat of a tangent for us. It would just be an interesting, very big cool in Hilchos Eidos, Tos says, even if someone does have Avera B'mezid. But they think it's a small Avera that doesn't make them puzzle. It's really a big Avera that makes them puzzle. Then they're still kosher. Okay, but that's a tangent. The kids are the point of Tosfos for us now is that Tosfos has to find an excuse why each of these guys is not puzzled Araisa. The Masach Bekuvia, because he doesn't realize it's so bad. The Malvei Beribis, because it's talking about ribis drabana and not ribis d'oraisa. He basically makes an okenta that each of these has an excuse why it's not so bad. Obviously, Tosfos holds, but if it would be a regular taking someone's money without violence, they would be a gazlan d'oraisa, which shows that, should have gone the other orientation, that Tosfos holds that gazlan is defined negatively. Gazlan means someone who takes someone else's money without gneva. Doesn't matter if I use violence, like in a yod ben yod. That was just to differentiate it from gneva. But the etzem geder of today was any taking of money, as long as it's not gneva. There's actually Shona Rishon and Kaflam Gil says even if it is gneva, it's gzela. Takes it one step further. But that was not mentioned. The Tos says gzela, as long as you're not a god, if you're a gazlan, even if you don't use violence. Rashi says no. To be a gazlan, you need to fit the positive definition of gazlan. Only someone who grabs violently is a gazlan. Sakharibis mal. There are varyon in these people. You have to figure out which other it is, but it's not gzela. Now, we suggest there may be a third shita here. The Chedushe Haran says the same thing as Rashi.
Where's Haran?
The Chedushe Haran Sanhedrin Av Chavdal Amud Beis, right there. Not hard to find. Just has the same discussion as the middle of that discussion. The Chedushe Haran has the same definition as Rashi, but as the same general orientation as Rashi, we might have a slightly different definition. The way the Chedushe Haran says is that a gazlan d'oraisa is only someone who grabs violently. Someone who receives the money willingly, like think about this, mafricha yonim, sach b'kubya, well, depending on what mafricha yonim means, but let's assume it means gambling, the guy gives it to me willingly. Malvei Beribis, the lova gives it to me willingly. If the guy gives it to me willingly, then I'm not a gazlan d'oraisa, so it could be that Rashi says you need violent grabbing. Could be a Chedushe Haran is the same derech as Rashi, but if you look at there's an excluded middle there. He says, oh, if you grab it, that's gzeila. If he gives it to you willingly, that's not gzeila. So what he might be saying is that maybe as long as it's not willing, that would qualify as gzela. So gzela would need taking against his will. Maybe. Maybe he means something slightly different than Rashi. If you take it against his will, that's gzela, even if it's not violent. What's a case of taking something against someone's will? That's not violent. Would be gzeila. It's possible that, again, the Ran, his formulation sort of sosa itself a little, that while Rashi would say, let's say a guy's not here at all. Someone leaves his, leaves his Rambam on his desk and goes to the bathroom, and I steal it when he's not looking. So Rashi would say, I'm not a Gazan Doraisa. I didn't use violence. Tosu would say, of course I'm a Gazan Doraisa. Anything that's not a Gazan is a Gazan. So the Shiran maybe would say, I agree with Rashi, you need to qualify to be a Gazan. A Gazan has to have a strict definition. But a Gazan doesn't have to use violence, you just have to take something against his will. Since he's not here, it's against his will, that would qualify as Gzela. So maybe that he'd be in the derech of Rashi, but just a little more broad. There's a specific gedder of Gazan. While Rashi would say, only if you grab violently from his hands, so the Shiran would be a little broader, as long as you grab it against his will, even if it's not violent, because he went to the bathroom. Okay, Sorachian, unclear. There may be a third possibility here. Now,
When Rashi says b'chozek, are we saying it means just face-to-face confrontation?
Yeah. We also find this idea that gzela might have sort of a positive definition based on violence and not just be sort of the catch-all for things that aren't... For things that aren't Geneva, in a diuk that Reb Lichtenstein likes to make from the Rambam, Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Beis, Halacha Tes. It's very interesting. In Perek Aleph, the Rambam lists all kinds of various people do, including he talks about Chogel Bachaveiro and Mazik is Mamon, etc. You have to do Tshuva for everything. Then in Perek Beis Halacha Tes, he quotes the famous Mishnah at the end of Yoma about difference between Anon Lachaveiro and Anon Lavakum. He says, but Anon Lavakum, Yom Kippur forgives you if you do Tshuva. Anon Lachaveiro, unless you apologize and make up to your friend, Yom Kippur won't work. He says, what's Anon Lachaveiro? He gives an example. He says, Chogel Bachaveiro, you injure your friend, bodily injury. Mekalo, you curse him. Or Gozlo, you steal. You rob him, rather. You rob him. Now, the question is, why didn't he list Mazik Mamon Chaveiro like in Perek Aleph? So again, you don't have to make a diuk. But Rav Lichtenstein said, maybe there's a tremendous chiddush in this Rambam. Says, maybe the Rambam being a chiddush. We think that anything that has to do with money is Benon Chaveiro. Right, halacha l'maisa, you ask any rabbi, and you say, I sinned against my friend's mamon. Can I get kapara on Yom Kippur? Do I have to be mochel? Say, your friend's money. He has to be mochel you. The Rambam doesn't list money. The Rambam lists chovel, mekalel, and gozlo. And it's fascinating. We're listening, didn't make this diuk, but he didn't say gozlo mamon. He said gozlo. Right? So the diuk and the rabbi, we're listening, made in the Rambam, that no. If you just injure your friend's mamon, of course, on one level, that has to do with your friend. But that's just his money. That's not him. For that, you don't have to. I mean, that's obviously a nice thing, but it's not ma'akev. It's not absolutely necessary that you have to apologize to him and he has to be mochel you and every Yom Kippur. That was just a matter of money. Well, I said, if you give the money back, Zell, you know, what's the big deal? A small deal, but it's not ben adam l'chaveiro. It's ben adam l'mamon chaveiro. The only types of ben adam l'chaveiro that Yom Kippur can't be mechaper for are if you hurt your friend's person, not just his money. You injure himself, not just his money. How do you injure himself? By chovel, obviously, you mamish hurt him. Mekalel, you hurt him verbally. And gozlo, so the gzela seems to be not just an injury to your friend's mamon, an injury to him. And then the diuk is, why gozel and not gonev? So it could be gozel's lavdavka. That's a whole excursus here of words that have broader meanings and narrower meanings. Definitely, it's clear sometimes words we use lavdavka and davka. So here, gozel, maybe gozel is lav dafka, but maybe if you read gozel as dafka, you come out with a tremendous chiddush. That if you're gozel your friend, then you have to apologize in Yom Kippur to get kapara. But if you're gomei from your friend, you don't. Why? Because gzeila is not just a catch-all. Gzeila means specifically the attribute of violence. When I violently attack someone, even though I only violently attacked you to take your money, still that's a violation of your personal integrity, of your bodily integrity, and therefore that's ben ol machaveru. Gneiva, if I sneak into your house, now you're right, the truth is psychologically people also feel violated if you sneak into their house. But nonetheless, it's not the same, right? And people are sometimes traumatized when their house is broken into also, but not nearly as traumatized as when they're mugged. They're still an entirely different madrega. Still, the when I'm going with you, I've sinned against your money, but I haven't hurt you. Gzela is hurting you, which proves Gzela has a positive definition of violence and is not just an issue of mamon, chavir. So that was a very, very nice diuk in the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva. The truth is that Rav Lichtenstein didn't point this out, but it's not just a diuk in the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva. The first word in Hilchos Gneiva says, "Kol agonei mamon mi shaver pruta." So it says, "Hilchos zela sheva mitzvah shelo ligno mamon, kol agonei mamon mi shaver pruta over los achter, agonei mamon." In Gzela, just a shoulder leg. Zol says, Kalagozel es chaveiro shavapruta. Not Kalagozel, Kalagone mamon shavapruta. Kalagozel es chaveiro shavapruta. So it really does seem that the Rambam's lashon is very meduyak. Just even grammatically, Gozel, the direct object of Gozel is your chaveiro. The direct object of Gonev is mamon chaveiro, which supports Rav Lichtenstein's diuk and Hilchos Tshuva, that Gozel is defined by the personal violence, while Gonev is defined by other things, but it's not a matter of personal violence. That's I think, Rafi Ice pointed this one out to me. What?
Is that similar to Rashi? Or is it
and he was associating this with Rashi, that the Rambam, like Rashi, sees Gzela as defined by the violent taking, by the forceful grabbing, as opposed to Tosos, who says, yes, Gzela compared to Gneva is the violence. But it's not because Gzela is defined by violence, just you have to make sure it doesn't fall into Gneva. So yes, he was I'm not necessarily equating, but putting Rashi and the Rambam on the same side of the issue. The On the other hand, and this is a big problem, which he pointed out once or twice. There's some diuk in the Rambam that go. The Rambam, the famous Rambam Pehelchus Gneiva Perek Aleph Halacha Gimel, who deals with list mezuyan, the Rambam defines Gneiva and defines Gzela. Right. What does the Rambam say? Gneiva, if I recall correctly, he says you take it b'seser, shelo b'dias b'ilim. Gzela is b'goloi u'v'chozek yad, etc. Now, the question is, you know, what about things that sort of fall in between this? You know, what if you have, you know, is it dafka? First of all, you have to figure out what's the definite relationship between Seisha and Dias Bailon, but even if, what if something is, maybe it's Seisha and Dias Bailon, but also Goli and Chozik Yad, or it's not Goli and Chozik Yad, it's not Seisha and Dias Bailon, you know, what does it fall into then? So the Rambam actually clears that issue up for us, because he discusses Listim Mezuyan. Right, the Rambam, again, his name is Al Halacha Gimel, says, Lefikach, therefore, says, what about list of mezuyan? So there's a machlokes in the Gemara. What's the status of list of mezuyan? This comes up, like, technically, it's very important in trying to figure out whether you ever have a toin tainis ganav of a shomer sachar. Because for sure, list of mezuyan, armed robbers, in Hilchos Shomrim, an armed robber is an omis, right? I mean, it's not your fault. You weren't negligent. An armed robber came. So the shomer sachar is potter if he tainis list of mezuyan. So if list mezuyan is in Hilchas Gneiva Ganef, then a Shomer Sacher can have a Hechitimtzo of Toin Tanis Ganef. And if not, not, that's just where it comes up, the context in which it comes up in Shas, Agav, this other issue of whether you can have this Hechitimtzo. But The main point is that the Achlok is in the Gemara. Whether the list of Mezuyan came in the Mitmar Inshi, he has some hiding, but he uses weapons. Does he fall under Ganav or Gazlan? So what does the Rambam say? The Rambam says, at least an arguer, so Lefikach, therefore, list of Mezuyan Sheganav, Eino Gazlan El Ganav. A list of Mezuyan is a Ganav. Afal Pisha, Baidlam Yodin, Bishasha Ganav. Even though the people see a list of Mezuyan, is still a ganef. And I think, what's lefikach? He says, first, this is what a ganef is. Then, this is what a gazlan is. So I think what he's saying is, lefikach, working off the gazlan, lefikach, if you want to know which of these definitions really is the positive definition, like which definition is really bedavka, and which definition is a little bit lafdavka, lefikach, the definition of gzela is bedavka. A list of mezuyan. A list of Mezuyan, who is Bidias Bailim, but who is Bidias Bailim, so you'd think he wouldn't be Gneva. But he's not Begoli Bechozek Yad, because he just takes out his weapons for 1 second. But he's generally on the hide, he's definitely hiding, on the run from the law. So he falls into Gneva and not Gzela, meaning why? Because he doesn't meet the definition of Gazlan, even though he's not exactly the definition of Ganav. That's what he's trying to say, right? He's not exactly the classic definition of Ganav, because the Bailim see him. He does face the Bailim. Since he doesn't meet the definition of a Gazlan, therefore, since he doesn't meet the definition of a gazlan, therefore he falls under the category of gneva. Now this is at least an argument, a big chiddush, but one thing that definitely tells you is that the Rambam views gazlan as having a very positive davka definition. In other words, gazlan has to have a very strict definition, and if you fall into that definition, you're a gazlan. But, and if not, not. So we see again, the Rambam seems to be like Rashi, even though I've defined ganav, I've defined gazlan. First question you should ask is not whether it falls under Ganef, and then Gazlan is a default. Ask whether it falls under Gazlan. If it doesn't fall under Gazlan, then it doesn't qualify as a Gazlan. The list of Mezuyan is not a Gazlan. The truth is there's an opposite gear. So also, which Rishonim had, that the right in the Mishnah had an opposite gear, so, which is, comes out to the same basic point, but it flips everything on the head. It says, even though the Bailim, it's don't know, he is still, so even though the Bailim don't know, he's still a Gazlan. So it's flip. He's a Gazlan, even though it meets the definition of Ganef. But here also, why would the Yisod is the same. Why would he be a Gazlan even though he met the definition of Ganef? Because he also met the definition of Gazlan, and Gazlan has a very positive definition. So either way, what the Rambam was pointing out is that the rule, the definition of Gazlan, is more important than the definition of Ganef. According to Argus, he's saying, even though you don't meet the definition of Ganef, we put you into Ganef because you don't qualify as a Gazlan. The opposite gear, so it just flips it all mirror image. Even though you do meet the definition of Ganef, we call you a Gazlan because you meet the definition of Gazlan. Now again, in terms of what the actual facts are, it's all flipped 180 degrees. But the point is that the Rambam says, don't take the definition of Ganef as the ikker. Gazlan has a definition, and that's what's really important. So that's in terms of defining what's a ganef versus what's a gazlan. How do you define a ganef? How do you define a gazlan? Now, an issue which is almost the same issue, but just slightly different nuance, is not to define the action of a ganef and a gazlan, which is what we've been trying to do until now, but defining the machayev of gneva and gzela. Meaning, from a more theoretical Lundish perspective, what aspect of what happened is the machayev of gneva, and what aspect is the machayev of gzela. And here he pointed out that all the achronim, all the achronim have the same basic lumdus. Not so posh, you could say the opposite lumdus also. But all the achronim have the same basic lumdus, summarized in Pri Moshe. But already you have hints of this in the famous Rav Chaim, which is the Rav Chaim on this issue is in the Chazon Yechezkel on the Tosefta Bav Metzia, if I recall correctly. And then all the Talmidim of Rav Chaim take the same general approach that Gneva, the Machayev of Gneva, the Mechayiv of Gneva is the Maisa Gneva. It's a certain specific type of Maisa of stealth. Everyone agrees Gneva is a special kind of Maisa. That Maisa defines the Chiyuv. In Gzela, the Mechayiv of Gzela is not the Maisa Gzela. Again, this fits better with the Tosfos there. The Mechayiv of Gzela is not the Maisa Gzela, even though they want to say it in the Rambam, which you pointed out, leaves certainly room for Tzarfiyah. The Mechayiv of Gzela is not the Maisa Gzela. The Mechayiv of Gzela is the result of having your friend's mamon. That's a chiddush which all the Achronim like to say. The truth is that it actually goes well before Rav Chaim the first year. It's the Mefurish Menchas Chinuch. Right? Rav Lechti didn't mention this, but I think this is the Mefurish Menchas Chinuch. The Gemara in Bava Kama in the second parak says, if you steal my property, I shouldn't sneak in and take it back. I should bash you in the face and take it back. So you have to figure out exactly why. Some people say it's a matter of Maris Ayin. You know, if I sneak in, it'll be Maris Ayin that I'm dishonest. But if I punch you in the face and take back my item, it'll be clear. But the Minchas Chinuch says, no, it's a lumdus. Sneaking in is Gneva. Bashing you in the face and taking it is Gzela. Gneva is usher, even though it's my own property. Because the Maisa Gneva is a Maisa Gneva. Even though it's my property. Which is a chitch. But Gzela, no, it's only the result of taking your money that's usher. But if it's my money, then there's nothing usher about it. So that's already, I think, the Minchas Chinuch is, now that I'm saying, it wasn't mentioned, but that might be the first Achron. I'm looking at some pre-motionary quotes from earlier. Who really takes this approach, this Lundish approach? But then, again, you find it very, very commonly in the Achron of the last 100 years or so. So, Lamaisa, what are some rayas they brought for this?
Besides the Chinuch, which wasn't mentioned. The Rambam.
They brought some rayas from the Rambam. The Rambam says that the Rambam brings down the Gemara in Daf Samach Alchem Bab Metzia. Why did it say Lo Tiknovu to Aser Gneva Almanas Lameket Gneva Almanas Sham Tashlumei Kefil? Right, the Rambam actually has. I don't think it makes a big difference. It says Gneva Almanas Lameket Lahachzir or Almanas Lashali. Meaning, even if I steal, Rambam called Deras Chok, just to annoy you, to pull a trick on you, right? Talk, a lot of people think that's okay. The Torah says, no, it's a specific pasuk in the Torah. The Gemara says that you're not allowed to, or I plan to give it back, or even on Menashe Shalim, right? What did the Gemara say? Eov used to, when there were poor people who were too proud to take tzedakah, he would steal from them and pay them dollar behei, as a way of giving tzedakah, v'chuli, v'chuli, which is all, you know, sounds nice, but it's an Isha Doraisa, at least for Jews. All these are usher, and the Rambam puts that in Hilchas Gneva, Perek Aleph Halacha Beis, also Lignov Kol Shuv Din Torah, also Lignov Deres Chok, O Lignov Amanas LaHachzer, Amanas LaShalem, Akol Usher Lo Yagel Atzmo Kachatz. All usher, you shouldn't just get used to Gneva. So the Rambam doesn't write this in Hilchas Gzela. Now you never know. You know, it could be that. It's always hard to tell how many dukim to make in the Rambam. There are some people who say, no, look historically at the Rambam liked to quote things from the Gemara, and the Gemara said it about Gneva, so the Rambam brought Hilchas Gneva, but he didn't mean to be davka about it. Or, people like to read the Rambam more Medayik. No, the Rambam worked very, very hard on this Sefer, and wrote things exactly where he thought they belonged, and was as clear as he should have been. So in which case, why did the Rambam put in Hilchas Gneva, not in Hilchas Gzela? So it would make a lot of sense that Almanas Lamekat, or Almanas Lashalim, is Gneva, but it may not be Gzela Mamish. I'm not saying this will be, Mahadrin and Mahadrin, but Gneva, even if you don't really intend to take away the guy's money, Still, it's a maisig neima, so it's usher. Gzelos has to do with the tzad, the result of taking his money, but the result here is not taking his money. It's just I'm playing a trick on him, or I'm trying to give it back to him for whatever reason. Either neutral or just annoying or looking out for his own good. So therefore, it might not be gzelos mamish. That would be very meduyak in the Rambam. This is what I mean. All the Rosh Yeshiva make this diuk. The Rav Lichtenstein suggested that this could lead you to a different way of understanding the beginning of this Perek Hilchos Alfa Lachu Beis. It starts with Asur Lignov Kol Shu Din Torah. So why is Asur Lignov Kol Shu Din Torah? So, truth is also Asur Lignov Kol Shu Din Torah, which we didn't really do. But Asur Lignov Kol Shu Din Torah, so the Magid Mishnah, Alatar says, we didn't Chatzis Shir Asur Na Raisa, right? Open up the Perek of Yom, right at the beginning, we hold like Rav Yochanan, Chatzis Shir is Asur Na Torah. No problem. So, which is a great shot. Let's point out, just the Magid Mishnah has to make two assumptions. It could be, just realize the Magid Mishnah making two assumptions. What are his two assumptions? Assumption A, like Rashi says in Shabbos Daf Ayin Daled Amud Aleph, that Chatzis Shir applies to non-Achiva. The Gemara only has examples of Chatzis Shir Asur Min HaTorah for Ismachalos Asuros. Doesn't say it for other Isurim. It's a machlokus whether it applies to other Isurim. Rashi says in Shabbos Daf Ayin Daled Amud Aleph that Chatzis Shir Asur Min HaTorah even by other things that are not eating. That Lichtenstein mentioned, if I recall correctly, I think the Chacham Tzvi is most famous for arguing. So Chacham Tzvi for arguing Rashi and saying, no, Chatzis is only Asur Min HaTorah for Machalos Asuros. Okay, so that we have to assume like Rashi against the Chacham Tzvi. The second assumption we have to make is based on the famous Lamdish Chiluk of the Meiri, the famous Meiri in Shabbos. He actually, I think the Meiri is actually even more famous because he applies it to other Mechadish things. But famous Lamdish Meiri in Shabbos. The Meiri asks, how come, forget about Asur Min HaTorah even, just Asur. How come Hotzah, half a Hotzah is Asur, if I carry half a Grogris for Amos and Meshus Rabbim, that's Asur. But half a Hotzah is Mutter. If I carry a Grogris to Amos and Meshus Rabbim, that's Mutter. So either half should be Asur or half should be Mutter. So here's Mechadesh. I think it's pretty Mechadesh, you have to be Mechadesh this. That there's in the Chatzi Shir and Chatzi Malacha, or to be more general, Chatzi Shir and Chatzi Maisa. Somebody's doing the full Maisa on half a Shir. Like when I eat, assuming that it's a full Maisa, not so posh, but let's assume that for now. I am beginning to be shmuelous about this. But if I eat half a Kezias of Chelev, that's a real Maisa Achila, but with half the amount. If I carry half a Grogris from one side of the street to the other side of the street on Shabbos, that's a full Havaris Dalar Amos Shusarabin, but only half the amount. However, if I take even a whole suitcase and I walk 2 amos of Rosh Hashanah, that's not half the amount. That's half the maisa. It's not a maisa of Havara of Rosh Hashanah. I haven't really significantly changed its place. Right? All Dalaramas is like one place, so I haven't really changed its place. So therefore, that is, you're right, Balabatish, they're both like halfway. And as a matter of fact, Balabas would tell you, no, it's even more dangerous to carry a Gruber's 2 amos, because if you just walk a little extra, you'll be Makalo Shabbos. But a Lamdan will tell you no. It's not a matter of how dangerous it is, it's a matter of your mind. If you carry 2 amos, you haven't carried from one place to another. You've done half, you haven't done the full Maisa, it's Chatzi Maisa. If you carry half a Grogris, you've done the Maisa of Havaris Dalar Amos Shazarabim, just with half the amount. So, if we assume, I think it's pretty much that Chatzi Shim and a Torah applies to Chatzi Shir, but a Chatzi Maisa is Mutter. It's only a Chatzi Shir that's Usser. So the Aga, by the way, I mean, we're not going to get into this, but if you're learning Hilchos Shabbos, this is one of the most interesting questions about just the Mishnah of the Avos Melacha, right? Tofer Shtei Tefiros. And what if it was one Tefira? Is that Chatzi Shir? Is that Chatzi Melacha? Kosei Beit Osios V'chuli V'chuli. But again, that's not for now. Back to us. What about half a Pruta? So is half a Pruta a Maisa of Lekichas Mamon? With half the Shir? Or there is a Rambam in Perichos Shvuos, Perich Zayin, Halacha Tezayin, who says Pachshu Shav Pruta is not Mamon. So maybe Pachshu Shav Pruta is a Chatzi Maisa, it's not even Mamon. So the Magen Mishnah has to assume that even though the Rambam says Chatzi Pruta ain't no Mamon, Pachshu Shav Pruta ain't no Mamon, Kolshu is not Mamon, still what he means by ain't no Mamon is that it's a Chatzi Shir, it's not a Chatzi Maisa. Okay, so the Magen Mishnah makes two assumptions. A, that Chatzi Shir is also in a Torah even outside of Achila. And B, that half a prut is a chatzi shir, not a chatzi maisa. Beseder gomor, I mean, those are reasonable assumptions. But The Rav just suggested an alternate approach as well, that no, maybe the Chatzi Shir that's Aser Gneva Kosher Din Torah is connected to the end of the Halacha, to Amanas Lameken, Amanas L'Shalim, and Amanas L'Hachzir. Maybe what the Rambam's saying is that it's also to steal kosher like Amanas Lameka, like Amanas Achzer, etc., because Gneva is a function of the Maisa and not the monetary result, and therefore who cares that the result is you haven't taken away any money from him. Still, you did a Maisa of sneaking in and picking up an object and removing it, and that Maisa is what's also not necessarily the result of losing money. So the Rav just extended this extended the same logic to Paphos Mishavar Prutah. Okay, another place where we might see this nafkamina is there's a famous machlokas about what about gonev al menas la'abed? What about gonev al menas la'abed? If I take something, this is sort of funny, not just al menas to give it back, I'm not sure if it's better or worse, but I take something without, I intend to take it away from you, but I don't intend to bring it, to keep it for me. Right? So I steal something with the intention to destroy it. Now again, if you look in later Achronim, we're not getting into this, obviously, this is its own sugya. Obviously, you're thinking to yourself, the later Achronim do suggest to Philip, there's two types of gonev menas la'abed, there might be a gonev menas to take it and then la'abed, or la'abed right away, but that's, again, that's already a little too detailed for us. L'maisa, what's the thing of gonev menas la'abed? Is it gneva? You know, it's clearly some sort of hezek. That's not the issue. The question is whether it's gneva, gzela. So on the one hand, you can say it is gzela because I took it away from you. The other, you could say, no, since I didn't want to take it from me, that's hezek. It's not gzela. So what about gonev menas la'abed? So Rav Lichtenstein suggested, before we see what the Rav said, Rav Lichtenstein suggested that you could, this is just a sort of speculation, that there could be a difference in gneva and gzela based on the halach of the Achronim. It could be that gonev menas la'abed would be gneva, because you still, if you look at the Maisa, you took it the same way any other ganav does. But it could be that gozel al menas la'abed, that means would not be gzela, because gzela has to do with the end result of taking your friend's money, and here you didn't take your friend's money. You might have damaged your friend's money, that's called hezek. You didn't take your friend's money. So, he suggested one might be mechalik that way. He quoted from the Rav, this is the stira about this issue. There's a stira about this issue between the Yerushalmi, Pashas, the Yerushalmi and the Bavli. The first Mishnah Kones talks about if I like steal your animal and then your animal damages a third party, I steal Andrew's ox. And it gores, I don't know, it breaks Jeff's property. So I'm chayiv to pay. The Yerushalmi said, if I steal it intending to keep it, I'm chayiv to pay, because then that's real gneva. But if I steal it intending to let it just run away and get lost and just to damage you, gonev menas la'abed, they use that phrase, that's where the phrase comes from, then I'm not chayiv to pay. So apparently they say, if I steal it, I'm menas la'abed, then that's not real gneva. And I'm not chayiv to pay for the damage this animal caused to Jeff. On the other hand, the Gemara in Bavli, Daf Tzadi Chesem and Aleph has a case where if I knock your coin into the sea in a place where it's recoverable, somewhat recoverable, then I'm not chayiv to pay because it's still somewhat recoverable. They say, but if I pick it up and throw it into the sea, then I am chayiv to pay because I'm a goslin, right? And as a mazik can say, it wasn't such a big hezek, go get it yourself. But a goslin, what do you mean? I have to give it back to you or pay. I have no excuses for gzela. So therefore, the goslin has to pay. So that's clear that you are a goslin, even on Manasla Abed. I just took it out of your hand. I just picked it up to throw into the sea. I'm a goslin Manasla Abed, and I do have to give gzela. Because again, if something's recoverable, a mazik would be pater, a goslin would be chayiv. So it's a stira. So some people say, Zachlog is babbling Yerushalmi. Maybe you could differentiate between a god and a goslin, maybe. But the Rav had a different approach. It has nothing to do with our potential chiluk between god and a goslin. That was just speculation. The Rav said a very beautiful idea, based on, this idea of Chaim, and really implicitly already in the Rishonim. That and it's a very sophistic idea, which is going to come up probably already on the very bottom south base on the base. There's a difference between chiyuve gzela and kinyane gzela, meaning there are two naftaminas to being a thief, whether a gazlan or a ganif. Let's just call it gzela for now. One naftamina is that I am punished. There's chiyuve gzela. I have to pay. Then there's something called kinyane gzela, even though it's sort of funny. And if you and I were sitting down to write a system of law, we would probably say, a gazlan's not kona the object, it's not his. But in halacha, it could be, we'll have to see what this actually means, lemaisa, that kinyanim are a little more practical, and lemaisa, whoever's in control of it has not, I don't mean he full kinyanim, but has some level of kinyan in it. There's something called kinyane gzela. I have a certain acquisition of the object based on the facts of the ground that I am now in control of it, even though that was done illicitly. Even though it smacks a little might makes right, but that's a gazlan has a certain level of kinyanim. Naftamina is those kinyanim that a gazlan gets certain advantages. For example, if I don't steal your object and I use it, you can sue me for rent. If I do steal your object and use it, I don't have to pay rent. My kinyanim say, if I use it, I don't have to pay rent. Yeah, I'm not saying it's a mutter or anything. And at least the way Rechaim envisioned it, if I steal your object and then do a shinoi, now I'm the full owner, I'm kona legamrei. Why? Because I always had some ownership from the moment of stealing. That kinyan exela from the time of stealing allowed me, through a shinoi, to keep the object. Okay, but again, that's a lumdus which we will get to. Lemaisa, what does this have to do with our issue? The Rav pointed out, and this is really, you know, there's already a shach on this. The shach already resolves this dilemma. He says that, Gonev amanas la'abed is chayiv to pay as a gazlan, but is not chayiv if that ox then damages a third person, damages Jeff's property. He just doesn't put it in lumdish terminology borrowed from Rav Chaim. The Rav did put it in lumdish terminology, which was made famous in a legamri different context by Rav Chaim. He says, a gonev amanas la'abed has chiyuv etzela without kinyan etzela. If chiyuv etzela are the punishments, the obligations. The punishment's obligations, who cares what his intention was? He's a gazlan. Kinyan exela, the acquisition, the rights, since he only intended to destroy it and not to keep it, he didn't intend to acquire any rights for himself. So the Rav's chiluk is that a gonim of Manasla Abi, who has sort of all the damaging his friend aspect of gneva, but without the taking it for himself aspect of gneva or exela, should have the chiyum exela without kinyan exela. That was the Rav's chiddush in that. Answers the steamer very beautifully. The Bavli Daf Tzadik Ches Amud Aleph says I have to pay the owner back because I have chiyuv gzela. But the Yerushalmi in Akone says I don't have to pay Jeff, a third party, if the ox damages him. Why? Because only an owner has to pay for damage caused by an ox, right? Says the Bailam. The Torah says the Bailam has to pay for the damage. If I don't have any Bailas, because I don't kinyan him, then I don't have to pay for the damage caused by the ox. Again, even though Balabatish paying Jeff for the damage caused by the ox is a chiyuv, but that's a chiyuv that doesn't come from my gzela. I stole from Etri. It's a chiyuv that comes from the fact that I have a chalos bailam over the ox. And we all know the bailam has to pay for Karen Shane and Regel of an ox. So that was how the Rav resolved that stira. Nothing to do with the chotin naming gzela, just the sheet of the Rav. No, the Rav said nothing to do with Ganav and Gazlan. The theoretically, what one. The Rav said nothing to do with Ganif and Gazlan. If the according to Rav Luchni's speculation would end up reversed that way, so he wasn't saying it in this Yerushalmi Bavli, just the speculation beyond. Okay, that was about it for the relationship between Gneva and Gzela. Obviously, if you're just looking at Chronim, you could add 100 different Nafkaminas and Rayas and Diukim, etc. to this list. Again, the Primosha, I'm pretty sure that Rav Gussman also has quite a few pages about it. The last thing we just discussed was Oshek. Where does Oshek fall into this? And here we have, he promised us something and didn't pay up, which I don't want to, appropriately enough perhaps for this, but he promised to tell us how come the Rambam didn't paskin like the Gemara and Bavmitzi Daf Kofi and Aleph. I'll have to fill that in next week. But there's a first Gemara and Bavmitzi Daf Kofi and Aleph and Aleph, which tries to figure out what's the difference between Oshek and Gezel. You have all kinds of theories. In the end, Rava says there is no difference. Lav or love, Bishnei Lavim, Zel, Oshek, Zel, Gezel, Oshek and Gezel are the same thing, you just violate two Lavim. So we want to know where Oshek fits in. It's not a hard question, it's just the same as Gezel. Okay. However, the Rambam didn't view it that way. Again, how he knew from Shas that he had the right to not view it that way. Or unless he said he would explain it, but he still owes us. To deal with it. The Rambam in general, I mean, he wasn't so hot on Shalom Lavra Lav Shnei Lavim. The Rambam didn't really think you could count things as different Lavim if they were the same thing. In his Hakdama to the Sefer Mitzvot. Well, Mike said the Rambam counts as two Lavim, so he says they're two totally different things. So for the Rambam, Oshek is an entirely new category. Agavar, looks like he didn't mention this, but the Smag, who in his Sefer Mitzvot quotes an order of the Rambam, he uses the Rambam's order like the Chinuch does. He quotes Gezel and Oshek, and he says, yeah, the Rambam counted them as two, but he's wrong. So Mefarsh Gemara, they're the same thing. So really, he's wrong, and I'll fill in another mitzvah instead, and therefore, he has a side machlok to the Rambam. He counts the law of machlokes, lo yekakar pechadasa, as one of the 613 mitzvahs, not to make machlokes, which the Rambam doesn't, because the Rambam uses up the space for Gezel and Oshek. That was not mentioned, that's just a cute aside. The Lamaisa, the Rambam's chiluk is that what's Gezel and what's Oshek? Gezel is if you take someone's property, if you take someone's property from them. Oshek is if they gave you the property and you just don't return it. So the classic example of Oshek, he gives halva, right? You owe them, you know, they lent you and you don't return it, or I think he says schiras, right? You don't pay the wages. That's Oshek. Now, one thing which is a little ambiguous in the Rambam is where exactly did you draw the line between Oshek and Gezel? Is Oshek whenever you refuse to give back and Gezel whenever you take? Or, interestingly, in the way all the examples of Oshek were, where there was no be'en, just shibudin. Right? Be'en means I actually have your object. Shibudin means I owe you money, but it's not any particular money. So all the cases where I owe you schiras, I owe you halva, I owe you money, there's no particular money. So does the difference depend on taking versus not returning? Or does the difference depend on an actual object versus just not paying a shibud, an abstract debt, a chiyuv? So the nafkamina might be, what if you give me a pikadon to watch and I don't return it? What does that fall under, right? You say, you know, please keep an eye on my bicycle and I don't return it. So there I did take a ban, but I took it. You know, I did steal your ban, but I took it willingly. I'm just not returning it. So on the one hand, if you say it depends on not returning versus taking, then here I just didn't return it. So it should be Oshek. On the other hand, since it's Be'en, it might be considered Gzela. The truth is that he said there are two stadim why you might consider Gzela as opposed to Oshek. Number one, you might say it's Gzela as opposed to Oshek because I took a Be'en. Or you could say it's Gzela because you didn't give it to me willingly. You gave it to me to watch, to be shown there. Then I took it out of the Shmira into my Rishos. So maybe I did do a mice of taking your just by them. So, Lamaisa, again, if you want to know whether not returning a pikadon is Gezel or Oshek, Pashas, you would say it's Oshek, because it came to me willingly, I just refused to return it. There are two studim, you could say that maybe it's Gzela, Tzad 1 is, maybe anytime I have your be'en, that's Gzela, and Oshek is limited to Shibudim. Tzad 2 is, you didn't give it to me willingly. You put it in my Shmira, but then I took it unwillingly, because having it in my house non-shmira is a totally different type of having than having it in my house as shmira.
The Franco Rambam puts pikadon as an example of Oshek.
Oh, really?
So
yeah. Yeah. Oh, so did I. I guess I had the old-fashioned one. Ah, so he says mefor is pikadon.
Yeah.
Okay, if it says mefor is pikadon.
Oh, pikadon or
shmira. Aha, okay, then I guess that answers the question. It's a little funny because we're literally sort of implied the opposite answer to the question, which because the Rambam does say in Hilchos Gnei Per Dalet Al Chayud that a shomer who stole a sheep from the flock or a dollar from the wallet is a ganef and chayiv keifa, and the Ravid argued with him. So you have to figure out what's Machlokes Rambam Ravid there. It could be that the Rambam holds a ganef chayiv keifa, and the Ravid says no, it's Oshek. You just didn't return it. In which case, the Rambam doesn't fit the Mefurish Rambam and the Frankel Girsa. Or you could say it's a machlok, because the Rambam says it's a ganef because you stole it stealthily. And the Ravid says, no, that doesn't count as stealth, because what do you mean hide? Even if people saw you, they wouldn't know you were stealing anyway, because it's in your own house. So, like, the Rambam says you are hiding. The Ravid says, what do you mean? That's not hiding. You don't have to hide. No one would even know the difference. No one would know whose sheep it is anyway. So it could be that's the technical folks in Ganu and Gzela. Anyway, Lamaisa, that's an important idea, that Gersa. Lamaisa, it seems to be the Rambam would say that not giving back could be called in as Oshek, even though in Hilchos Nevi'im, Dala Lachayyuri said taking a Hikadon that was entrusted to you as Gneva. The truth is, it's probably not such a big stira. I mean, there's a lot of details in the Achron about this, so there might be a difference in not giving back a Hikadon versus taking a Hikadon. And the Rambam in Hilchos Nevi'im, Perek Dalet, was talking about taking a Hikadon, while the Rambam in defining Oshik was talking about not giving back a Hikadon. And so the answer might be that if you take a Hikadon, that's Gezel or Gneva. If you just don't give back a Hikadon, that is Oshik. Okay, that's what we discussed yesterday. What? Where is the Minchas Chinuch? I think it should be maybe. Look for it. If you don't find it, then I'll find it for you. But I don't remember. I didn't look it up. I just, you know, what I remember was it.
I mean, I'm not sure if it's a reason, and I don't know if it makes a difference for this, but is there any particular reason why